Hi, everyone, and welcome to One Question with Pastor Adam. And I am Adam, and I am pastor to believers and to doubters, to unfaithful Christians and to faithful atheists. And Jesus wasn't afraid of asking questions, and so neither are we. So each Thursday, here on the Raven Foundation Facebook page and on the Clackamas United Church of Christ Facebook page, we're going to be exploring one question that you have sent me over Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. And my kids just got me this thing called TikTok. They said, "Dad, you need to get on TikTok." So I was like, okay, so now I'm on TikTok. So if you do the TikTok thing, you can come hang out. I told my kids, yeah, I'll do TikTok, but only if you come on and do some videos with me. So I've got my kids over there up on TikTok. So it's fun, good times. So if you've got questions, you can send them to me. Today, though, I've got a question for you. I'm going to flip the table on us. And hey, Robert, good to see you. How you do loss and grief with someone? Here in the United States, we've got Thanksgiving coming up, and we're going to talk about loss and grief because that's what I am feeling these days. I don't want to be a wet blanket and talk about sad things, but I'm feeling kind of sad. And part of it is that I know that many of you may be feeling the same way too. We have had 251,445 deaths here in the United States because of the coronavirus. And we had 1,850 deaths yesterday. And we already are at 908 deaths today. And so loss and grief is a real thing during the holiday season. It always is. But this year, there are going to be more tables than there would have been otherwise with empty chairs because of this coronavirus. And we can blame whoever it is we want to blame. But the reality is that that's what it's going to be like this year for you, for many of us, and we are needing to isolate during the holidays, and that's rough too. That's real. That's a loss. That's part of the loss. And in addition to this, we just had an election, and it was closer than a lot of us thought it would be, and a lot of us are dealing with loss of family members. A couple episodes ago, we talked about how could my family member vote like that? And other family members are like, why are you so upset that I voted like this? And so the raw emotions are real. The loss is real. And how do you deal with that? I wish I had really great answers. So this is my question for you. If you know how to deal with this, if you know how to move through this, I would love to read what you got and how we can help one another through it. I think that's part of it. It reminds me of when I was becoming a pastor, I had to take this thing called clinical pastoral education, which basically meant that I had to be a chaplain at a hospital. And I was there about 7 years ago, and I had to go to the ER on multiple occasions for people who were going through a traumatic experience in their lives. And one time I was called in, and this man in his 50s, maybe, had just had a severe heart attack. And I was called in, and I talked with his wife around the same age and his wife's daughter, teenage daughter, maybe 15, somewhere around there. And I asked her what had happened, and she told me the story about what she went through, and we just kind of sat there together. And eventually she she started telling me about how she went to one of the theme parks here in Portland, or well, in Oregon. It's in Salem, actually. It's called the Enchanted Forest. And in the Enchanted Forest, there's a haunted house. And she told me that when she was a younger mother with her daughter, that she was holding her daughter and she was walking through the haunted house and it was dark. And her daughter was just like crying. She was so scared to go through the haunted house. And she had gotten partway through and she started to turn around, but it was crowded and there were a bunch of people back at the entrance and there were a bunch of people towards the exit. And all she wanted to do was get out, but she was stuck in the scary darkness with her child. And so she started going the other way back towards the entrance. And the one of the workers there who was in the haunted house said, "I'm sorry, ma'am, you cannot go back. The only way out is through." And she said that that experience had always stuck with her through these sense of loss and grief and scary times in our lives that are hard. The only way out is through. And it's always stuck with me too. The last weekend, I found myself taking a lot of walks with my dog. I was taking walks with Mac, my dog, because I was working on my sermon for church. I was thinking about what I was going to say, and my wife was in the other room, and she started watching, I don't know, some television show that has like commercials that are for like animals that have been abandoned. You've seen these commercials, I'm sure. And they have these really like sad narrators, and it just really pulls at your heartstrings. And they have these songs that are also just like getting to me. And so she was in the other room and I was just couldn't help but listen to this one of these commercials. And it was a song that came out in 1995 or 96 by the Pretenders, which was "I'll Stand By You." And I was listening to it and I was like, oh, these poor animals. And I started like feeling like I was going to cry and my breath was. And so then I got out and I started thinking about my mom who died in the year 2000, about 20 years ago. And I started like wishing that my mom was here so that I could talk with her, so that I could talk with her about current events and what's happening in the world and my life and her life, and see if there were any connections that we could have made. I was 20 when she died. And so I was talking with my therapist about this. And he asked me, "Well, what do you remember about your mom?" And I was like, I'm now like 20 years past my mom's death. And I'm like, it's hard to remember anything. It's hard to remember her voice. It's hard to remember what she looked like, except for like in pictures. And I have this one picture of my mom and me. So we were sitting on a boat up at my mom's sister's house, and we were out, must have been like 16 or so, and we were out on the boat, and we'd always go up there for like 2 weeks during the summer. And I always, like, as a kid, I just wanted to hang home with my friends and have fun with my friends during the summer. And I always resented having to go away from my friends for 2 weeks to hang out with my family. And sounds awful right now, but it's true. And so there's just this picture of me and my mom, and we're sitting on this boat, and I have this look that's exactly what I just described, like full of resentment. And my mom is smiling and she's happy to be there. And I'm like, I don't want to be here at all. And I just look at that picture and I'm like, man, I wish I could go back and just be with my mom. It's hard. It's part of the darkness of life, the pain of life, the loss of life. And moving through that is painful. Moving through that haunted mansion is tough. It's tough. And, you know, part of what we're dealing with now is this whole election thing. And hopefully in a couple of months, it will start to heal. But that's there too. Like, there are some family members that I don't feel comfortable talking to about the election. I don't want to talk to them about the election. And I'm sure they don't want to talk to me about the election either. Because it's just so painful. But when I was in seminary, I had to read a lot of books. But one of the books that I had to read that I just felt like at the time was really great and powerful was this book called All Our Losses, All Our Griefs. If you are wanting a book to explore loss and grief, this one is really great. And one of the, I just wanted to read one of the things to you, one of the sentences that really stuck out to me. It's this: what enables us to endure the pangs of grief is the experience of being heard and understood. The experience of being heard and understood. I think part of what is so great and struck me about that image of the woman walking through the haunted house was that there were other people there too. She wasn't alone in her scary time. We're not alone in our loss and in our grief. There are other people who travel this life with us, who can go through the loss and grief with us too. There's a story in the Bible about a man named Job. And Job has this experience of losing everything in his life, like one tragedy after another. And Job has three friends who come to him. And at first they sit with him, this ancient Jewish practice called sitting Shiva. They sit with him for 3 days, don't say a word. And then they start trying to come up with answers. They start saying to Job, well, clearly you did something wrong, because the Bible says that sometimes you can interpret the Bible as saying bad things happen when you don't follow God. So clearly you did something wrong. You sinned and you didn't follow God. So that's why bad things happen to you. Well, Job says, that's wrong. Job says, that's not right. It's not true to my experience. Job says, I may not be the perfect person, but I don't deserve this. So Job holds on to his innocence. And that story has always stuck with me too, because in the beginning, when Job's friends just sit with him, Job feels comforted. It's when his friends start trying to come up with answers to things that are unanswerable, like these big questions about suffering and loss and death, that's when they get into trouble. That's when their presence isn't helpful to Job. It's much more harmful to Job. And so oftentimes we get scared. We don't want to enter into the haunted house that somebody else is going through because it's scary. And oftentimes part of the scariness is that we don't feel like we have the answers. Well, guess what? You don't. You don't have the answer. And oftentimes when people are going through the haunted house, they don't want your answer anyway. They just want you to be present. They just want you to be with them, walk with them through the loss, the grief, the haunted house, to know that they're not alone. And sometimes the best answers are not verbal. Sometimes the best answers are just being present with one another. I'll end with this. Jesus had this moment in his life near the end where he went through this great big loss. He had a couple of moments where he had loss. Even Jesus had these moments where he suffered loss. He had this, one of his best friends named Lazarus ended up dying. And Lazarus's sister, Mary and Martha, came to Jesus and said, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. We wouldn't have had this loss if you had just been here. And Jesus does not respond by getting offended. And here's one of the points of this story, is that if you're ever angry with God, with Jesus, with whatever you call the universe, if you're ever angry like Martha and Mary were, God can take it. God can take your anger. We all have it. We all experience it. And God's not going to get angry back at you. God's not going to scold you for not having enough faith. What does Jesus do? He goes to Lazarus and he performs this miracle that brings life out of death. And if the literal miracle of that works for you, I don't want to take that away. If you think Jesus literally brought Lazarus back to life and you get something out of that, awesome. It's fantastic. But if you struggle with that, I want you to know I struggle with it too. But here's the point. I struggle with it because my mom's still dead. So here I'm like, Jesus, why don't you perform this miracle and bring my mom back? He's not going to do it. But does loss and grief, as painful as they are, do they have the last word? Or can you get through it to the other side? Can you get through? Is there an exit out of this haunted house? Can we get through it together? We all suffer this loss and this grief. And as this book, All Our Losses and All Our Grief, say, what we really want is to be listened to and to be understood amidst that loss and that grief. Our culture doesn't do a great job of allowing us to talk about loss and grief. We would much rather talk about almost anything else. But what if we had a place to go, a church, a synagogue, a mosque, whatever humanistic place we could go to talk? The other thing that Jesus does near the end of his life is the shortest verse in all the Bible. Jesus wept because he lost. He had to go through the loss of failure. Jesus failed. He weeps over Jerusalem because Jerusalem wouldn't listen to him, because Jesus actually failed. And so he had to go through that loss, and he cried, he wept. What if we had a place to go where you could cry and weep and know that somebody had a shoulder that you could cry and weep on, and you were going through it together? Maybe that's part of what this Thanksgiving is about. So those are some of my thoughts. I don't know. It's still pretty raw inside of me, but I'll just read a couple of comments here. Allison says, I really feel for the people who will be all alone. The CDC wants people to celebrate with immediate household members only, but for a lot of people, that is just them. a lot of people who are living alone won't be able to go visit their families. That's hard. Thank you, Allison, for bringing that up. You're welcome, Rebecca. Tina and Elise, you're welcome. Tina says, my husband and I are always alone for the holidays. Kids are too far away, and we let go of close relatives that supported Trump 5 years ago. I have a grandson I haven't met yet and will miss him and his brother, but I am realistic about the situation. My family plans have changed because of this thing, and it's tough. It's hard. But everybody, I want you to know that, I don't even know what to say, except we're in this together, as best we can. Sometimes life is like a haunted house and it's scary and there's a lot of loss and there's a lot of grief. And what do you do with that except for be real about talking about it, discussing it, getting it out of our system, moving through it together is, I think, part of what faith, the answer that faith has, which is not always a verbal answer, but sometimes they call it the ministry of presence. If you can just be present and not put pressure on yourself to have the answer because your presence is the answer. Julie says, this holiday season will be a challenge. Maybe you could go live on Thanksgiving. Yeah. I'll try to have something good to say on Thanksgiving, Julie. Antoinette says, that's a beautiful thought. If I'd had that support years ago when my mother passed, I wouldn't have gone through some of the things I did. Now my 97-year-old great-grandma has COVID and my close cousin has been fighting COVID and has pneumonia in the hospital. So I'm terrified. Antoinette, I hear you and I'm going to pray for you. I'm just going to do that right now. I'm going to lift you up, Antoinette. Holly says, we are having pie and coffee Zoom style. I think that's, for many of us, that's the best that we can do. And I think that's a great idea, Holly. So may God bless you in your Zoom style Thanksgiving. So Antoinette, I'm going to lift you up before God. And I lift you up, Antoinette, and I lift up your mother of blessed memory. And your great grandma, who's 97 and has COVID, and your cousin, I pray for you and for them, lifting you up to God's healing love. Amen. Friends, that is it for this episode of One Question with Pastor Adam. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. If you want to listen to all of the episodes, they are on wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find them on Raven Foundation at ravenfoundation.org. And friends, I hope that you have a blessed Thanksgiving. We may go have some service on Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving Eve, so stay tuned and we'll see. So until then, friends, God be with you and take care. Bye-bye.